You're listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast, your weekly post-apocalyptic news roundup.
Hello and welcome to Post-Apocalyptic Media's podcast. I'm your host, Derek. I'm joined with Sean.
Hello.
And Stephanie.
Hello.
We have an action-packed show today, so I'm just going to get right to it. First of all, announcements. We have a website. That website has a calendar. You need to check that out because there's lots of stuff going on in the post-apocalyptic space right now. And if you're not looking at our calendar every day, I don't know what to tell you. You're probably going to miss it. This is a moment, y'all, and you want to be part of this. So check this out. I just made a short little list of some of the things that are, first of all, airing. What's airing right now? Well, you need to know about Snowpiercer, which just aired its first episode of season 2, and it was epic. It was really good.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that in this episode, by the way. If you're interested in our thoughts on that episode 1, we're going to chat about that for just a minute. Attack on Titan going on right now. It's the 4th and final season, but we've got a lot of episodes left, don't we, Steph?
Yes, at least we're guaranteed to be going through episode 16, but hopefully more.
Hopefully more than that, yeah. But 16, that's a lot compared to seasons 2 and 3, if memory serves. We've also got The Stand going on right now. It's probably getting towards the end of the season, right? Is that...
I think so,
yeah.
That legit? Yeah, it's a Stephen King novel turned TV series. It's beloved. We have several writers at Post-Apocalyptic Media who have read the book several times. It's that good. So I can count on one hand the books that I've read several times, probably. So that just goes to show. The Stand, and it has been pretty good. I've been watching it. It's got a star-studded cast. It's moving along quite well, and it's really outside the norm of what you see. There's this struggle between God and Satan going on that's kind of below the surface, and I kind of like that because, you know, that kind of reflects some, like, biblical narratives, like the story of Job has God and Satan as characters, but they're also like kind of pulling strings below the surface. I'm not going to get too deep into that question, but The Stand going on right now, Expanse going on right now. We're covering all those on our website, but here's what's coming up. We got Fallout TV show, Halo TV show, Resident Evil TV show, Borderlands, a movie about Borderlands. Just landed Kevin Hart as a major actor on that. The Last of Us, a TV show. The Matrix 4 coming out really soon. Battlestar Galactica coming out eventually. new Dune movie, we think, coming out this year. They've already fooled me once, you know. Tribes of Europa, Why the Last Man. And that's just new stuff. Stuff getting renewed. Don't know if Brave New World's getting renewed, but we know that Walking Dead's coming soon. Yeah. Raised by Wolves, we know, is coming back. Mad Max movie in the works right now. A Quiet Place 2, also in the works. Handmaid's Tale, huge. Van Helsing season 5. You think that's just about vampires? Think again, because what if the vampires eat everybody? Then it's post-apocalyptic, and that is the plot. Another Life, Black Summer, which is season 2 of the spinoff of, what's the zombie show?
Z Nation,
yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't feel like a spinoff of Z Nation, yeah, but there you have it. It is.
C season 2, which is the show on Apple's streaming network. And Adventure Time, Distant Lands. We still got more Adventure Time, y'all. Y'all thought it was over. It's not. We still got more.
Yep.
So that's just like the things I could think of off the top of my head. This is blowing
exciting
up. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about all that. But let's get right into our first topic. First topic of the day, other than what's going on back here, because that's not nearly as interesting as what's going on in Sean's world. Looks like Sean's coming at us from the future.
I am.
A bleak future. Yeah. Can you report on in, Sean? What happened to cause this mayhem?
You know, I mean, it's you watch the news and they'll blame it on everything. So it's just it's a culmination of everything just kind of coming together. And yeah, you know how it is.
You still have news?
I don't anymore. We have nothing here anymore. You know, I mean, I have to be fast because there are zombies all around me. So.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, if Sean disappears, we'll just assume that you're hiding. You'll come yeah. back when it's safe.
Yeah.
So, well, I really appreciate you taking your time to do this. I know that it makes you vulnerable to all sorts of attacks.
Yeah, I mean, to get power, I'm hand cranking here a little generator. So my arm gets tired, I'll have to switch to the other arm and it'll be fine.
I noticed that your bicep looks beefy today. So
yeah, just the one though. It's just
that's some dedication. Thank you for your dedication to this.
Do what
podcast.
I gotta do.
Yep. we're actually halfway through our Boomy Awards, and I think that we should just start off with our Boomies because that's the most important thing going on right now. Tell us what is the next topic, Stephanie?
All right. The next topic is post-apocalyptic video game console and PC of 2020.
All right. Who covered this this topic? Was that Sean?
That was me.
All right, Sean. Let us know.
The contenders.
All right. So we had, for the runners-up, we had Dismantle, Wasteland 3, Aground, Doom Eternal, The Last Haven, and The Last of Us 2. And The Last of Us Part 2 was the winner. And I think it's pretty obvious, you know, The Last of Us Part 2 was a huge success, a critical success. You know, they had a perfect score across the board. Mm. They won tons of awards in the video game awards. I mean, everything from, you know, the voice acting to the score. I believe they won score and just everything, you know, the storyline, everything to do with that game is just... I mean, this is like a top game of the decade, probably, you know, like one of those kind of things. And it just came out during a year when we needed something like this. You know, people were home playing games more than ever. I mean, all this stuff people are doing more than ever, watching TV and stuff. But it just came out at a really good time. And I think that I don't think video games really did like movies did, where they waited. You know, like a lot of movies are waiting till next year. I think video games kind of were like, let's go for it. You know, let's not wait because that would have been dumb.
Smart. Yeah, that would be really dumb. Everyone's like stuck in their homes. Of course, they have even more time.
So this is a year of gaming, I think. And this was the king right here.
Yeah, if anything, they pushed games out the door that maybe they shouldn't have.
yeah.
But, okay, so... In that list right there, we had several different kinds of games. It's almost unfair to be comparing these games because you've got, of course, The Last of Us is just kind of, I'm not going to comment exactly on what kind of game, but it's a very creative kind of strategy, but also with some fighting elements, like almost first person fighting, but it's third person, right?
Yeah, it is, and it's very story driven. Like a big part of it was the story. You know, they got you into kind of relating yourself to Ellie and Joel, and making sure that you are, you know, kind of in their heads. You know, and like what you would do in that situation. So
love that. Part of it. And then Wasteland 3 is a deep RPG. I finished it last night, actually. Just short review of Wasteland 3. It's almost like if you'd have taken Fallout 2 and put it into our current context, just upgraded the graphics, upgraded the music, upgraded the combat mechanics, just made everything a little better. So if that appeals to you, Wasteland 3, man, check it out. It's it was fun. And the choices made sense. There was a lot of consequences to my choices, I will say I played it on the hard difficulty. So there's several difficulties. There's one difficulty above what I did, but I'll say, you know, playing the game like I did, if you're the kind of person like me who's going to spend an hour at the merchant trying to make sure you have the right gear and you've upgraded it all and modded everything, it was kind of too easy for me at the end, really? Even on the hard difficulty.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So, you know, there were some characters that weren't very effective in battle until the very end. But once I got them to where they needed to be, it was just slaughters for the last three or four hours of gameplay. So,
wow.
You know, if you're experienced, if you played through Fallout 2, maybe try the hardest setting. You'll be one of 0.1% of people, according to Xbox, have beat that game on the hardest setting. So,
wow.
Good luck. Okay. Most people don't even want to try, I guess.
But it had a great soundtrack as well. They recorded a lot of original songs for that game, and the voice acting, outstanding. I usually skip dialogue. Sometimes I would just sit back and listen to the dialogue because it was just so good. I don't usually skip the dialogue if I haven't read it. I usually read it faster than they can say it, and then I skip. So that was a deep RPG. What was Dismantle?
Dismantle is kind of a game where you run around and you go through abandoned buildings and kind of look for scrap and things like that. But at the same time, you're fighting zombies. So, you know, it's kind of like a scavenger game, I guess, mostly. But it's huge, huge hit. A lot of people are streaming it on Twitch. You know, it's kind of like a runaway indie hit. Really good game. And then, like a lot of these, you know, The Last Haven and Aground, too, are both indie games also. Aground is it's like a side-scrolling... I'm trying to think what would be a good comparison, like Starbound or Terraria, like those types of games, like a side-scrolling builder game, you know, where you go through and you can mine underground. Same thing where, you know, it's after... Well, you're actually on an island, and you're kind of trying to survive on this island after the world ends or something like that. And then The Last Haven is a settlement builder game, very much like Surviving the Aftermath, which we reviewed on the site, and Banished, which was a kind of like a medieval settlement building game. But it, you know, if you've ever played like Age of Empires, mm-hmm. you know, games like that, where you build, you know, you build your blacksmith shop and you build your, you know, all your different shops, and then you have the people go out and gather resources. It's a lot like that, and it's a really good game. I really enjoyed it.
Oh wow! Is it an RTS?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's basically, in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Nice.
But
okay.
It's, you know, post-apocalyptic. So it's really cool.
And a post-apocalyptic RTS. Is there anything else like that?
Yeah, Surviving the Aftermath is very much like that. But
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
Awesome. Well, all right. Let's move on to our next category.
Our next category is Best Post-Apocalyptic Video Game Mobile of 2020. Sean, you can take it from here.
Yeah, this is kind of the same thing where it's, you know, you look at the mobile games that people have been playing. Again, 2020, everyone's playing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the runners-up were Dead by Daylight, Devil's Peak Fury, Atom RPG Mobile Edition, Bridge Constructor, The Walking Dead, Far, Lone Sails, and Dark Days Zombie Survival. And the one that took the prize was Dark Days Zombie Survival. There are so many good games on this list. Like, I've played all of these. Well, maybe not Bridge Constructor. I didn't play that one, the Walking Dead one. That's just it's basically just a game that you have to build bridges and they have to stay up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a video for it, but I haven't played that one. But the rest of them I've played. Devil's Peak Fury is a racing game. Just amazing looking cars in that. You're basically just driving around and, you know, watching for bombs and blowing up the opponent and stuff like that. Atom RPG is, they have a PC version which you've played, Derek, right? Or did you play the mobile version?
I played the mobile version.
Oh, the mobile version. Okay. And then Farlorn Sails, we did a story on that. It's a really great idea for a game. You're basically keeping it's like a sail car. There's like a car that has a big sail on it, and you have to build within this while it's moving, and it has to keep moving, kind of like Snowpiercer. And you have to repair it as it's moving, you know, so you're constantly making upgrades and repairing it and everything. It's a pretty cool concept. But Dark Days Zombie Survival is a beautiful game. It has kind of like a cell shaded, not really, well, almost cartoonish, but, you know, kind of like Borderlands kind of look to it.
Reminds
really,
me
really cool game. Yeah, yeah. And it's a beautiful game. It's a fun game. It's, you know, one of those kind of where you just have to get stuff and build it and survive and, you know, upgrade your weapons and all that kind of stuff. But it's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's a very open building concept in that game. Yeah. I could, you know, it had me building walls and doors.
Yeah.
Collecting wood and rock. And it, as you can tell, I just started playing. But yeah, that seems really fun. That sail game, what was it called?
Farlorn Sails.
I've watched some footage of that. I haven't played it, but the footage just gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. Very cool game.
Yeah, I really like that concept. All right, next category.
All right. The next category is our craziest post-apocalyptic news of 2020.
All right. That was a crowded field of candidates there.
There were so many things that we had to limit it to stories that we wrote about on our site, because otherwise there'd be like 50,000 different things, because 2020 was insane. So here are our craziest post-apocalyptic news nominees. Cardboard humans replacing fans at football and baseball games is very dystopian.
We saw that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, who saw that coming? Definitely not me.
I always thought they should have just, like, had one NFL crowd and just moved them, like, as a unit to all the games.
Or, like, I don't know, little robots in the stands so they can, like, wave things. I know that'd be way more expensive, but it's the NFL. They have the money. Right?
Having, like, humans competing in games of sports to entertain the robot spectators. I like that.
Yeah, isn't that great?
It's very dystopian.
Much more dystopian. Might as well just go with it. All right. There are so many tropical storms and hurricanes at once. We're running out of names. That really happened. We had to move on to the Greek alphabet because we ran out of names. That was fun. Let's see. Next nominee. Aliens are real? Galactic Federation confirmed by Israeli official. That's crazy.
Yeah, not just any Israeli official. A guy who was in charge of their space program for
a long time. Yeah, he says there's a Galactic Federation and peeps are on Mars. All right, the next one. Oreo made a doomsday vault, and I know where I'm going when the bombs drop. And it's true. That would be where I would prefer to be, personally. Let's see, next. National Weather Service issues fire tornado warning in perfectly fitting 2020 moment. And that is actually true. Like, people in a certain region got, you know how you get tornado warnings? Well, theirs said fire tornado. That was very special.
Yeah, this wasn't a typo where they meant fire, comma, tornado. This is literally a fire tornado.
Yes.
Tornadoes.
And the last what did you say?
Tornadoes weren't bad enough for 2020. We needed to up the ante a little bit in the stimulation.
Yeah, seriously, it does feel like a simulation. And the last nominee is zombie cicadas return to West Virginia. All right.
What makes them zombie cicadas again?
Sean?
They have a parasite in them. Okay, so they die, a parasite goes in their dead bodies and makes them reanimated, basically controls them so that they're still moving around. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my gosh. That is horrible.
Yeah.
Isn't that the plot for Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Pretty much, yeah.
Holy cow, that's a real thing.
Slowly moving up the food chain until they get to us.
Yeah. Yeah, it's practice.
Right. Yeah, how do we know that there aren't some people around who are already being controlled? You know, they'd obviously like not want to like reveal themselves, but I feel like if they're ordering pineapple on pizza, we should be a little suspicious.
That's the sign.
I always wondered, like, I don't know. I know this isn't the case with COVID, but like, I was like, what if there is a virus that just took over your brain and made you want, yeah, just like this zombie cicada thing made you want to go outside and spread it to as many people as possible while you're infected. It just gives you this overwhelming desire to go out.
Yeah.
You know, and cough on tons of people. I feel like that's, yeah. I don't know. Anyway, it's just fun, you know? It'll be like COVID 25 or something.
All right. What was the winner?
Who was the winner? All right. The winner is Aliens Are Real? Galactic Federation confirmed by Israeli official.
Yeah. And it should have won because because we can only discover aliens once. And it's about time, by the way. I think more and more like government agencies are tripping all over themselves to release stuff about aliens.
Yeah.
And it all seems to be like, I'm not saying coordinated with each other, but it seems related that they're all doing it right now. So, because of this news, I ended up watching several documentaries about alien contact.
Mm-hmm.
So, check out The Phenomenon out this year.
That's the best one.
Great documentary. And check out Travis. Travis has been out for a long time.
That's a good one too.
It's the story of a man who was abducted. His friends saw him get shot at by an alien vessel and ran away. And then he reappears several days later in a field with memories that are very interesting. I can't say whether I believe his memories are accurate, but I can say they're very interesting.
They're very interesting, and yeah, they did lie detector tests on everybody, and they all passed. I think that'll get people kind of interested also in watching that, because this wasn't just a bunch of friends who were like, oh, hey, guess our friend is missing. Like, they got in trouble with the law over it. It was a big deal.
Yeah, they were basically charged with murder because when they went back and said an alien shot at our friend and we left him, the police thought this is the stupidest cover story for a murder we've ever heard and arrested them.
That sounds a lot like the movie Fire in the Sky. Do you ever see that?
No, I don't think I have.
Me neither.
I wonder if that movie was based on this story.
Oh, interesting. Maybe.
It's a really good movie.
Huh. All right, there you have it. Three movies about aliens that you should be watching. Fire in the Sky, The Phenomenon, which is really recent stuff. It's got interviews with high-up members of Congress, among other things, and covers a lot of what is kind of the big things in alien history, the Roswell controversy. You have a guy who's like, yeah, we were transporting stuff from Roswell, and I was told to go stand in front of this trash and take pictures with it. It wasn't part of what they were transferring. And then, like, they end up debunking Roswell by saying, look at this trash he was taking pictures in front of. This isn't the real stuff. And the guy's like, I was ordered to do that by a general. That's all convoluted and probably not coming across real clearly in this, but watch The Phenomenon.
It's good. It's really good.
Fire in the Sky and Travis all three of those very fascinating topics, and it may it may end up being a really big deal. If we discover aliens in our lifetime, that'll be the biggest discovery probably since, Lord, I don't know, since we got electricity to work for us and do things for us.
What's crazy about this is I don't think anyone officially has debunked this guy yet, this Israeli official. Have they? Have you heard anything? Or, I mean, because he's out there making claims saying that we have a base on Mars and, you know, that the U.S. is in cahoots with, you know, a Galactic Federation. And
Galactic Federation.
Which is the greatest thing ever, yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, wow. Not just enough for aliens to have visited us, but Galactic Federation and some people on Mars. Like, yeah, dang.
It's crazy.
Yeah, unrelated. You know, our president just started Space Force, a new branch of the military for space. Which right now, to our knowledge, there is like a dozen people in space, and they're all scientists who probably aren't very good with a gun.
What I love about Space Force is they call, you know, like in other, I guess in Air Force, they call them cadets. In Space Force, they call them guardians. That's pretty awesome.
There's so many, and plus, yeah, I mean, there's so many awesome things. I mean, I'm a fan of, I think Space Force is cool. I like the idea. I hope Biden keeps it, you know? I mean, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Guardians. Sounds like a boss in Halo or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took, it feels like they took so many ideas from different sci-fi shows. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, the logo looks like Star Trek. Yeah, it's just, it's so funny. The Force be with you.
Yeah, we could talk about aliens all day, but we should probably move on until more news comes out about that. And then we'll be covering it here immediately. So let's, next topic.
All right, next topic is best post-apocalyptic scene or sequence.
All right.
So this is like the best post-apocalyptic moment in a TV show. I interrupted you, Derek. Go on.
No, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, this is these are the best post-apocalyptic moments in 2020 that were that we saw on a TV show. And Derek, I think you were the one who went through and found all the timestamps for them. So do you want to go over the nominees?
Yeah, sure do. Once I find them. All right, here we are. we've got Those Are Nukes, Old Timer, which is in the basically the opening scene of Umbrella Academy. It is, I'm just going to go down the list, actually. Morgan confronts the bounty hunter. That was in Fear the Walking Dead. Mm. It's a great fight scene. Yeah. Gabriel's Sacrifice, which I picked that because Gabriel started out being such a selfish, Weasley character who sacrificed his congregation, didn't want to fight, and he was just like dead weight. And he's gone through this transformation, and I think that this scene really shows the changes that Gabriel's made over the years. Mother deals with some unwelcome guests in Raised by Wolves. Class warfare from Brave New World, betrayal, rebellion, plotting, and torture in Snowpiercer. That all takes place in about 14 minutes. The winner, Those Are Nukes, Old Timer. That is a scene, even if you don't plan on watching Umbrella Academy, you should watch that scene. Just watch the scene by itself. You don't have to know the characters and what their powers are and anything. It is a beautiful scene. It basically, I can't say much about it without spoiling the scene for you, but it is beautiful, and it has a nuclear explosion in it that is just so crystal clear and well done. It is a huge budget show, Umbrella Academy on Netflix. So we've got this timestamp up here. We also linked to YouTube so you could watch it there, but surprise, surprise, YouTube took it down. So if you look on our website below the YouTube non-video where it says this video is not available, you have a little link I called backup link. You click on that link, it's going to take you to a place where the law doesn't touch.
The deep web.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I hope you have some antivirus software installed.
And a good VPN.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, check that out. Those are Nukes Old Timer. Beautiful scene. I think that we were pretty much unanimous here at Post Apocalyptic Media on picking that one.
That was phenomenal.
It's so good. Morgan confronting the bounty hunter. Great battle scene. Gabriel's sacrifice. Mother deals with some unwelcome guests. Is very bloody. And that's in season one, episode one of Raised by Wolves. So if you just watch that episode, you're going to get that scene. And you'll know what I mean when I say Mother deals with some unwelcome guests. Class warfare. That's actually at the end of Brave New World. And it is also very bloody. Mm-hmm. Betrayal, rebellion, plotting, and torture on Snowpiercer. That's towards the end of that season as well. And it was kind of hard to pick a Snowpiercer specific scene. And you can kind of see from that, that's a lot of topics. And I picked a 14-minute sequence, so it's not like real short. But it was it all fits together and it connects in Snowpiercer. You kind of imagine those things are going on throughout the entire season, and that's true. But especially the torture aspect, if you watch the season, you know kind of what scene I'm talking about, because torture kind of takes a central focus for several minutes. Mm. So those are all great scenes and great shows. I think any one of these shows is really worth watching. You're going to have to put in your time if you're going to get to the Walking Dead scene, because that's in season 10, episode 16. Hmm. You there yet, Sean?
Not yet. No, we still in season 9.
Oh, yep. All right.
Down a bit.
Yep, we're getting there.
Quite the ride.
Yeah.
And the final award is our Industry Achievement Award. This is
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
We have two more.
Oh.
We have industry achievement and most anticipated.
You're right. My bad. okay, yeah. And second to last award, Industry Achievement Award. This is an award where we give to somebody who's just been working really hard in the post-apocalyptic industry. We looked around and we saw this one person who was doing tons of voices, tons of work in some of our very favorite projects. And that's kind of rare that one person is involved in all of that. So we wanted to give Ashley Birch the recognition she deserves.
Yay, Ashley Birch.
Congratulations, Ashley.
Woohoo!
Man, you know, I've been following Ashley since she was making videos for YouTube called Hey Ash, What You Playing? And they were just like short little one-off, like 4-minute, 3-minute videos about random video games. And her career has blossomed. Mm-hmm. She's been a writer for Adventure Time for like, I think she did like 30 episodes of it.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. She's been a voice actor on, get this, Fallout 4, Horizon Zero Dawn, Adventure Time, Last of Us Part 2, which we just gave our Game of the Year award, or our winner of the Boomy, Attack on Titan. She's on Borderlands 2. Like, that's and Pit People.
Wow.
Pit People is post-apocalyptic. Most people aren't aware of Pit People. It's a strategy game that Stephanie and I played co-op all the way from start to finish.
So much fun.
Stephanie's not generally, at least at that time, was not generally considered a gamer. And she was playing Candy Crush or something at the time.
Yes, proudly playing Candy Crush.
So Ashley, great job
Yeah.
on this.
Yeah.
I didn't play Horizon Zero Dawn, but we have a writer, Val, who loves that game.
Yeah.
And who adores the work you did on that. Of course, I'm a huge Adventure Time fan, Fallout fan.
Mm-hmm.
Other Attack on Titan, of course.
Attack on Titan.
She's Sasha, by the way, in the English dubs. The girl is always eating food.
Potato.
Or obsessing
potato.
About food.
Yeah, the one I can relate to the most.
I saw Ashley Burch on, there's a show on Apple Plus TV called Mythic Quest. And that's where I first saw her. I think it came out last year or the year before, but it's basically a TV show about a MMO studio, like behind the scenes in this MMO studio. And they're making this game. And it has Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And anyway, it's a really, really good show. Like, it's surprisingly, and it's so funny because if you're a gamer, if you're like someone who really knows about, you know, the ins and outs of games, it has a lot of like inside jokes. But anyway, she plays this character who's a playtester, and I thought she did a great job, and she had a really memorable role. And then when you brought this up and you said Ashley Burch, you know, we should check her out, you know, for a nominee for this or for a winner for this. And I checked her out and I'm like, that's the girl from Mythic Quest. So, I mean, she's been in so many things, and like this, even the voice acting, you know, you like you said, you look at it and you didn't know that this is all her. So, I mean, she deserves this, no doubt, you know.
That's yeah.
Impressive.
I suggest after listening to this podcast, getting on our website. We have a video embedded here where she's kind of doing some voice acting for Horizon Zero Dawn and talking mm-hmm. about her philosophy and the way she approaches this and why she became a voice actress. Check that out. Also, we got links to all of the articles that were nominees for the craziest article of the year. We mm-hmm. have a link to that video. Like I said, those are Nuke's old timer. Highly suggest you take like 2 minutes to watch that. It is a beautiful piece of cinematography. Now we are coming to our very last topic. Most anticipated for 2021. Sean, take it away.
All right. Well, we have for runners-up, we have Snowpiercer Season 2, which is currently just started. And then we have Horizon Forbidden West, which we were just talking about, is the sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn. Now this you know, I should add, this category or this whole group is TV shows, games, movies, everything. Most anticipated everything. We also have Tribes of Europa, which is a Netflix TV series. Chaos Walking, which is a movie. A Quiet Place 2, which is a movie. And The Matrix 4, which is a movie. A lot of movies on here.
Oh, man.
But our winner was Tribes of Europa, and that's a lot of people think or have been saying that it looks like a clone of the 100. You know, we have yet to see that because it hasn't come on yet. That actually, when does it come on? Like, I think February, very soon. Oh, and the 19th. So that's coming up pretty soon. That's a couple weeks.
It's going to be a huge month.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't Dune scheduled to come pretty soon as well?
No, I think they switched it again to October.
Yeah. Closer to the end of the year.
Oh, jeez. October. Yeah, no. Man.
Somewhere around there, okay. Yeah.
Just push that out of
Sean,
my mind.
Tell me why is Tribes of Europa more anticipated than Matrix 4?
Well, yes. I mean, that's a good question. It's a good question. And, you know, I think when I look at this list, there's... You could think of reasons for every one of these to be most mm-hmm. anticipated. And it's kind of like, you know, not to be a cop out, but I think all of these are kind of equally most anticipated because, you know, and for their own reason, like especially the game Horizon Forbidden West is kind of, you know, if we had a different category for game and TV mm-hmm. show and movie most anticipated, you know, these would be the winners. As far as movies though, between Chaos Walking and Quiet Place 2 and Matrix 4, I mean, man, how do you pick one there? You know, Quiet Place, true. The first one was such a great movie. It was kind of a revolutionary movie when it came out. And then to have a second one, it's kind of like, I have to see how they continue this story about being quiet, you know. Chaos Walking is a movie about, that's the one, oh, let me see. It seems like it's the one where there's no men left on Earth or something like that. And oh, I don't remember exactly. It's something like that.
Interesting. I
have to look that up. But and Matrix 4, of course. I mean, when did 3 come out?
Gosh. Ages ago.
Yeah, it was like in the 90s or no. Well,
it couldn't have been that
no,
long
not that long ago.
No, I want to look it up.
Yeah, no.
I'm gonna guess. Let's all guess. I'm gonna say 2006.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
2002. I don't know. I'm just randomly trying to guess.
I say 5.
Okay.
$1.
All right.
$1, Bob.
I'm looking it up now. 2003.
Oh.
So I was the closest.
You were
I
the
guess.
Closest without going over. Yeah.
Yes. Although honestly, I would have guessed earlier than that if y'all hadn't said that you all thought it was in the 2000s. So, wow, 2003.
Tribes of Europa has a teaser that you can watch on YouTube. We've also embedded that into that story. You know, that story is a great story. Maybe, just maybe, you should go check that out.
Yeah.
When you're on your computer. Yes. But yeah, that trailer's embedded in there. That's a watch, man. Watch that trailer. I was honestly, to be honest, I heard the name Tribes of Europa and I was like, meh. And then I watched the trailer and I'm gonna watch every episode, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think for me too, another reason that this one wins here is because a lot of these are sequels. You know, The Game, Snowpiercer, Quiet Place, Matrix 4. The only one, Chaos Walking, being the non-sequel. So it's kind of like we know kind of what to expect with all these. Tribes of Europa is a brand new thing. Despite, you know, the similarities to the 100, I think that it's still exciting to figure, you know, to find out what this is going to be. I mean, you see like jets flying over and at the same time people are like wearing scrapped armor and, you know, so it's like what's going on here, you know? So it looks like it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I want to watch it right away just to see if it really is similar to the 100 or if that just is something that comes out in the trailer.
Yeah.
I'm so curious.
Okay, so that's the Boomy Awards. Congratulations again to all of our winners. It's been a difficult year to compete in post-apocalyptic stuff because there's so much of it. And there's so much good content coming out. This isn't like most years. And you know, just like I said at the top of the show, we've got a lot of shows coming out. I just covered shows and movies off the top of my head. And that was a long list of AAA level stuff. We've got all sorts of games that I'm not even talking about in that list. Short films, indie stuff. And also just a special congratulations to indie developers this year.
Yeah.
Sean talked about the indie games that made our top lists here and became nominees. That's not easy to do. And so, thank you. Thank you for, you know, trying to put your art out there, even if you're not backed by a lot of money in a big studio. We want to see that. And we want to support that with our website.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that up. Reach out to us if you're doing stuff like that and let us know what's going on. Because we want to cover that and we can't, you know, see everything. So help us out. Drop a line. Moving on to a topic, you know, we're close to the end of the show, but I want to bring this up because it just came out. Snowpiercer season 2, episode 1 just aired. And, I'll just say, I thought it was better than I could have expected. I felt like season 1 was good, but it lacked a few, it lacked some things that I think they're bringing in season 2, kind of high level, strategic, philosophical angles that they really hit hard in this episode. And so, I'll just throw this opinion out there and see what you guys think. But at this moment, I'm kind of team Wilford. I know he rules with an iron fist. You know, people are like, oh he's... Man. But you kind of need that when all of the world's population is hanging by a thread. You maybe need somebody who can take that high level. Let me tell you about Wilford. He was betrayed and yet still managed to go take Jennifer Connelly's daughter, to get on this train Alice, to make it survive for 7 years, even though it's not nearly as well equipped as the main train. And, you know, and he seems to have raised that girl pretty good. He's taking over the main train with a strategic, you know, level that maybe we haven't seen from the other characters who are trying to rule. What do you guys think?
I mean, yeah. I totally get what you're saying about Wilford. I mean, what he was able to do despite being, you know, abandoned in a complete wasteland is very, very impressive. So yeah, he's I'm still leaning team Layton. I mean, you know, he cares about the underdog. He doesn't, you know, sometimes his care about the underdog kind of can potentially hurt some humanity survival type of plans. But, you know, he's like the Bernie Sanders of this group. I don't know. He's just really there for the underdog, for the poor people. He wants to make sure everyone's equally treated. You know, you gotta have a lot of admiration for someone willing to fight for the little guy. But I do see your argument about Wilford too. So,
all right, Steph's team Layton. I'm gonna
actually make a trifecta here, and I'm gonna go team Melanie.
Oh.
Now, and I was actually before, you know, I heard your opinions, but I think that now she is with Layton right now, and I think she's with Layton because, like, reluctantly. I don't think that she's really... So yeah. I think that at some point she's going to kind of come back ahead. It's a classic, you know, break the main character down all the way, and then they build themselves back up. It's just a classic, you know, storyline.
Interesting.
So I think that she is going to probably rise above. I think maybe her and Alex are going to kind of join forces. Alex is, because you could see Alex is a hard ass against her mom, but you could see that she's kind of breaking down a little bit. She came down to the jail to talk to her. And so that's my prediction. And also, I think that the snow thing where it started snowing.
Yeah.
That might hint that there's going to be a warm up. You know, maybe eventually it'll be to the point where they don't need the train anymore. By the end of season three, because we know that there's a season three already.
Yeah.
So maybe by the end of season three, they'll still walk off the train or something. I don't know. That's, you know, that's kind of what I think it's going. But,
I love that theory.
Team Melanie all the way.
Yeah, it kind of shows how the series really could branch out and be more than just the story of the train if the weather changes.
Yeah, and if the weather changes, then they can even do a whole, like, where, like, half of the people decide they want to rebuild society back on land, but maybe the other half doesn't trust it and stay on the train or something. I don't know. Pretty fascinating.
Man, I want to be Team Melanie. I think that... I think she's great, but she should have been. I was Team Melanie, but she wasn't even sorry for stealing Wilford's train, and I felt like that was a mistake. You know, it's one thing to say you're not the leader humanity needs, and so I betrayed you. It's another thing to act like you didn't do anything wrong. You know, like that he doesn't have any right to be mad.
You feel no regret about it. Yeah.
His strategy to just let everybody freeze to death and then come in and scavenge the train feels like something that that I can relate to. I'm like, okay, that makes sense. These people have made a whole mess of the whole train that he built. But in that's Melanie's fault, right? Like, she is the one who decided to let the tailies on in the first place. Without tailies, none of the conflict probably would exist. You'd have your servant class who, you know, sign their contracts, I'm going to serve and get to live. And, you know, it's the Tailies who got on without making any, like, explicit agreement that they were going to, you know, be in that place. And that's, and there was no consideration for providing for them. The train wasn't designed for that. And so, in a way, Melanie's at fault for that, for being merciful and trying to let as many people on the train as possible. But doesn't that betray a sense of... that Melanie doesn't have the pragmatism needed to make this work.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, we should, next week we should all get shirts to, you know, Team Melanie, Team Wilford.
Yes, yes. I'm sitting here like, oh, they should have had another train so that people of lesser means could have also had an opportunity to survive. Because it's just not fair that only rich people get to live. That's not fair.
Yeah.
All right, it's me over here on the Team Layton.
Stephanie's over here making Bernie memes of,
sitting
in the engineering department, like with his mittens.
Yes, Bernie Snowpiercer memes. Please send them our way.
Let's see. Are we? We're not going to talk about Attack on Titan. We've already talked, beat that horse to death. But check it out if you.
If you
need something new to watch. Anything else to discuss? The Stand?
I think we got that one. We talked about that a little bit.
The Stand is good.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
Great TV right now.
I don't know what's a spoiler at this point. Apparently everybody's already read the book, so what can you spoil, really?
Yeah.
But yeah, The Stand's going on. Check that out. I think that we have milked the current TV topic for today. We could get into the weeds with Snowpiercer, especially. It was such a good first episode of season 2.
It was really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's beautifully shot. So, with that, we're going to call it today. So thank you all so much for joining us. Every week, we're going to be talking about the latest news in post-apocalyptic media. We keep it short. We keep it an hour so that you can live your normal life and also keep abreast of what's going on. So, you guys, be safe out there. Be prepared for whatever may happen. And always be ready for the big one. Y'all have a good one.
Bye.